You may never your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Hey, welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here located in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast every weeknight, Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on our flagship network, the Global Star Radio Network. We're simulcast on BTR, that's Blog Talk Radio. We can watch us live as well on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com and click on your preferences to listening or video venue. And folks, don't forget, we've got two separate websites, one for the show, that's HagmanandHagman.com, and of course, one for news, information, show prep material, that's HagmanReport.com. I'm Doug Hagman, of course, with Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team, where we dig deep into the topics that the corporate captured mass media won't. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. This is such a blessing to have two of our favorite guests and favorite people on, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, and of course Pastor David Langford from thevoiceofevangelism.com, linked right off of HagmanandHagman.com. So if you're there, you can click right onto their respective websites. Don't forget to check out the verse of the day, the picture of the day, the Q alerts on Steve Quayle's website, and of course Pastor Langford has got some great video on his website, The Voice of Evangelism, so check that out as well. And portions of the nice broadcast, I want to let everyone know, brought to you by Minuteman Stove. I'll tell you what, you want a stove for your needs, your prep, to have in your preps, Minuteman Stove is...
Even for camping.
Yeah, for camping. I mean, this is an ammunition can that's been redesigned, and I'll tell you something, it really works well. More on that later. Now, tonight... of course, when we're talking about the attack on the Word of God and the attack on Christians, the attack on Christianity, but specifically the attack on the Word of God, and the attack on the Word of God really began in the Garden of Eden, and we've seen this play out, not just there, but continuing forward to today. And a lot of people, we're getting a lot of reports of people saying, well, my goodness, you know something? I can equate it to the Mandela effect a little bit. If you look at the show promo for tonight, we mentioned the Mandela effect, and people are actually claiming that through some sort of
gap in the time-space continuum.
Right, there you go.
There has been things that have been changed in the past, whether it has been a celebrity or well-known person that has been announced to be dead three, four, five, six right. times to now we're seeing it spill over into the Bible where people are saying that scripture has changed and there's a few examples of that, as well as things like the Berenstain Bears and now the JFK assassinations getting thrown in there.
People are saying there was only four
people in the car, not six people in the car when he was assassinated.
Right. Did you know that? It's really
there's a lot of examples, but it's called the Mandela effect.
Okay, and that's part of the conversation. Now, before we turn this over to Pastor David Langford, he's going to start us out tonight. I just want to mention too, Joe, that Pastor Langford has been in prayer in preparation for tonight and in prayer about this subject, about this topic, and there's a word that I am to mention, and that word is ignition. And you know, as soon as I heard that, Steve and I were talking earlier today, and as soon as I heard that word ignition, I thought of acceleration, and I thought of how quickly a solid engine rocket fuel booster burns. You know, how the acceleration of from the ignition. And so we're going to start off with that. But before we do, I just want to mention, you know, Joe, you know, I've been doing research on the different translations and iterations of the Holy Bible, and you've been doing it as well, and we've been sharing it with Eric the Tech. By the way, folks, Eric the Tech is back at the helm in the Star Trek chair on the camera angles and also on audio. So let's welcome him back. Thanks for the round of applause. Great studio audience here. Just kidding. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Eric, for coming back when I thought you were fleeing from when you were seeking extradition elsewhere.
We got to take that ad out of the classifieds.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, before we get into the topic tonight, before I turn this over to Pastor David Langford, I was just sharing something with him from our research, and that's the fact that, you know, there are so many different variations of the Bible, and of course the original King James Version of the Bible, many people believe it was first written in English in 1611. Well, there are earlier versions as well. We can go back to the Erasmus Greek Latin New Testament of 1516, the Textus Receptus, which is the by definition the Latin received text, a parallel New Testament edition prior to, which precedes the King James 1611 edition. But having said all of that, I just want to point one thing out really quick before we jump to conclusions about how things are changing, perhaps assigning or ascribing some sort of weird, as Joe said, space-time continuum twisted thing going on here. I'm just going to give you a couple of facts about the differences between the King James Version of the Bible and the New King James Version Bible. Totally different books, basically. Just to give you some, throw some facts here. The New King James Version of the Bible was published by the New King James Version of the Bible versus the King James Version of the Bible. Consider this: the New King James Version removes the word Lord 66 times. That version removes the word God 51 times from the pages of the New King James Version, or of the King James Version, I'm sorry. The New King James Version removes the word heaven 50 times. In just the New Testament alone, the New King James Version removes 2,289 words. That's from the King James Version. And in total, the New King James Version makes over 100,000 word changes from the King James Version of the Bible. And most of those changes are going to match the NIV versions, the NASV, the RSV versions. And of course, as I meant to mention earlier, Thomas Nelson Publishers are the publishers behind the New King James Version. This according to research. And it's interesting, Moody Monthly, June 1982, the back cover, they say nothing has been changed except to make the original meaning clearer. Well, I'm not sure how you do that by making such changes, as I had mentioned, in removals, changing, for example, Jesus to Joshua in one instance in Hebrews 4:8 and Acts 7:45. And I can go on, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take up the time of our guests. With that, I'm going to bring on Pastor David Langford, someone I like to call our pastor. Here at the Hagman and Hagman Report, as well as America's Pastor. Pastor David Langford, thanks for coming on tonight.
Oh, Doug and Joe and Steve, it's always such a privilege, and I say that with sincerity, to be with you guys, and it's such an honor for the listeners to allow us to come into their home, their business. Maybe you've downloaded the program, and tomorrow you're listening to it while you're in your automobile or in the office working or riding your bicycle or whatever. It's always our privilege and our joy and our treat to be with the people of God and share the Word of God. And, Doug, some of those statistics that you were sharing there are unbelievable, and it shows such an attack on the Word of God. You see, when God allowed us to have the King James Version translated, and it comes from different sects relative to who did what, the Latin Vulgate, the Greek Syriac, the Greek Septuagint, different things of that nature. But my point is, there was much prayer and fasting that went in to translate and give us what we have. Well, today, I assure you, there is no prayer and there is no fasting in these translations. It's just from an intellectual mindset. And you cannot understand the Word of God through your intellectualism. Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Then he opened their understanding. Unless God opens a man's understanding in the Word of God, it'll go right over his head. 1 Corinthians 2:14 said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And I need to stop right here and make an announcement. Myself, Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, and Gary Haven will be at Jim Baker's on August the 19th, 20th, and 21st. I'll be preaching Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Steve and Tom will be doing teaching during the day. And I talked with Lori a while ago. There's going to be something on their website by the end of the week. It's called JimBakerShow.com. And there'll be something on that banner that will say, click on event. And you need to register ASAP because it's going to be limited to 1,000 people, and that's it. And my concern is, not because we think we're anybody or anyone special, God forbid, but I'm afraid with Steve and Tom and Gary, this will fill up very, very quickly. And I don't want anyone to come and then have to be turned away because there's not enough room. So it's RSVP, so if you have an interest in coming in August, and you'll also be staying in Branson, there's not enough motels. Actually, Brother Baker's ministry is in Blue Eye, Missouri, which is a very, very little place. You'll be staying in Branson, and it's about a 20-minute drive to the facilities there in Blue Eye, Missouri. So I want to encourage those of you who have interest in coming. There's no fee. It's just sign up and come on and get your motel room and be a part of this great event. And the reason I'm telling you now is, I don't want you to show up and regretfully have to be turned away because there's not enough room. So please, if you have an interest in coming, go to JimBakerShow.com. I would suggest you go every day until they get this banner up, and it should say click on event, and then you can register there. And then I assume once they get the 1,000 registered, they'll probably pull that down because we don't want people coming and not able to come into the building or be a part of that. So please take that to heart tonight, and don't lollygag around. If you want to come, be sure you get registered. Getting back to the Scriptures, I have been overwhelmed. I have been inundated with all of these people emailing me or phoning me about their Bibles changing. I suppose what is so sad about that is the naivety and the immaturity, and I don't say that to be condescending or demeaning to anyone, But you must understand, if that was going to take place, I think I have five or six strong exhaustive concordances. They would have to change every one of them as well to take out these words. And, of course, the most famous one that I'm getting hammered with is Isaiah 11 and 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And of course, everyone is saying that the word wolf was never in there. Well, the truth is, it's always been there. Even my grandmother, as a little boy, she would talk to me about the millennial reign of Christ, and would always say, the day will come when the lion will lay down with the lamb. Well, if you'll read that verse in its context, it does say the lion and the wolf and the leopard, they're all going to lay down with the little kid and with the calf and the fatling. And but people are saying, well, the word wolf was never there. Well, I suppose the reason my grandmother would emphasize lion is because in North Carolina, we don't have any lions. But we do have wolves and coyotes and foxes and things like that. And people here have goats and sheep, and they, of course, attack them. And so I reckon she was emphasizing the magnitude of the Spirit of God that will cover the earth. And, of course, the lion, the leopard, will go back to eating straw like cows and ox and cattle do. That's the magnitude of the change. One lady emailed me. She said, I know the word matrix was never in the Bible. She said, I know. Well, she's wrong. Of course, that's in one of the references. It's in Exodus 34:19. All that openeth the matrix is mine. And I'll never forget the first time I read that 38 years ago, however long ago it was. Matrix does not sound King James. And, of course, I reckon because of some of these movies about matrix, that's why people are saying, well, that was never in the Bible. Well, it's been there. It's just, you don't know your Bible, so you make assumptions that it was not there. I'm going to share a few verses tonight. That's one of them, or two of them. I want to share a couple of verses tonight to show you how people have taken scriptures and they've made idioms out of them, and people didn't know it was scripture. Another
Pastor,
one is...
Pastor, if I can just jump in. And,
sure.
The word matrix is found five times in the Bible. It is
right.
In Exodus three times, in Numbers twice, and the definition in the Hebrew, the Strong's Concordance, is H7358, and it's rekem. The womb is
right.
The definition, just to let people know.
Yeah, that's but I reckon because of these movies, which I don't go to movies, I've never watched them. You know, but I remember advertising something about the Matrix, and I think it's been used in another meaning, another definition. But every firstborn male that opened the womb or the Matrix, God said was mine. Well, another statement, we've all said this or we've heard it said, well, that's not a drop in the bucket. Talking about how little or insignificant something was. Well, that's not a drop in a bucket. Well, that is an idiom from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15. Isaiah said, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Are as a drop of a bucket. And we've heard the cliche or the idiom, well, that's not a drop in the bucket. You take a 3-gallon bucket, 5-gallon bucket, you put one drop of water in it, you would say, that's not a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. Well, that's where that came from. That came from the Word of God, but yet it's been made an idiom, a statement, and it's been misrepresented in its context, but they took a phrase from the Scriptures and they used that. And then again, of course, Isaiah chapter 65 and 66 speak specifically of the millennial reign of Christ. Now, in Isaiah 11, he starts out talking about the stem and the seed of Jesse, the coming Messiah through David, etc. But he does go into a segment there in verses 6 and 7 about the millennial reign of Christ. But the bulk of that is found in Isaiah 65 and 66. And, of course, in Isaiah 65 and 25 says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." So there was another reference to the wolf and the lion and the lamb lying down eating together, and also the lion will go back and no longer be carnivorous, but will eat straw like a cow or an ox. And then here's the last one, and I'm not being ugly here, and don't no one please take me out of context, but we've all heard the term dumbass. Well, that's in the Bible. And when I was in the world, we used it against someone when they would say something stupid. You know, somebody would make a stupid statement, and we would turn and we would call them a dumbass. Well, that's from 2 Peter 2:16. And it's talking about Balaam. "But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet." So, again, that is a Bible verse of Scripture that's been taken and used as an idiom in calling someone stupid, see? And because we call animals dumb animals, because they don't communicate or talk to us because they can't speak. So God took the jackass and gave him a man's voice. So Peter said, the dumbass speaking. So we've taken that phrase as well, and we've misinterpreted it and used it in a derogative manner in the world as slang. And this is why you need to know your Bible. I mean, I've been in church services and meetings, and you know, I get emails every week to correct somebody about something. And that's not my job to go around and correct every talk show host. My job is to do one thing, and that's to preach the Word of God. But I have this continual, emails, phone calls, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. Well, you know, you call them and you straighten them out, because that's not what God called me to do. God called me to preach the Word. Now that you know your Bible is not changing, this is why you need so greatly to know your Bible. Because, as one person emailed me today, said, "I suppose my Bible did not get the memo, and my Bible has not changed." And the person went on to say, if people can believe that, then they can believe a lie and take the mark of the beast. Because you're believing a lie right now with this so-called Mandela thing. I didn't even know this was even in existence until I started getting bombarded by all these emails and phone calls that the Bible's changing. Oh yeah, another one was bottles instead of wine skins. Well, we all know in the original Greek it was wine skin, but in the King James it uses the phrase a bottle and not wine skin. And so I've just heard so much about so many things, which tells me people aren't reading their Bible and they're novices relative to the Scriptures. But let me get away from that and get on something more interesting. We all know that the mass killing we witnessed this past Saturday night, and the purported killer was named Omar Mateen. Well, back in the fall of 2008, and those of you who have followed this ministry that long, I even put it in a newsletter that the last named hurricane was called Omar. It formed in the Atlantic. It never affected any land in the Gulf or Haiti or anywhere down there, Cuba. But it went right on out in the Atlantic, and it just totally disappeared. But I do what we call word etymology. I do a lot of word studies constantly. I'm always studying words and the word. and I found out that the word Omar simply means Islam is flourishing. Now, Mateen, which was the man's last name, his last name means powerfully or forcibly. Well, you put the two together, Islam is flourishing powerfully. And you have a Muslim president who I believe God is getting ready to put something in his heart and expose him for what he is and what people have been in denial as to what he is. This morning when I got up, for whatever reason, the first thought that came into my mind was Obadiah, verse 15. It's only one chapter. Nobody knows really much about Obadiah. He's not the Obadiah in the book of 1 Kings, which hid 7,000 of God's people during the reign of Ahab, the king of Israel, under Elisha's reign as prophet. But he hid 7,000 of God's people. That's when God told Elijah, I've got 7,000 that have never bowed a knee, and Obadiah was the man that hid them. But this is not that man. We really have no significance of who this man is, where he came, or whatever, where he came from. But he says in Obadiah, verse 15, thy reward shall return upon thine own head. And so that's the first thing that was in my mind this morning when I awakened from my sleep. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head, which that's like a boomerang. You throw it out, it comes back. I've been saying for years, these people in leadership, they think they're getting by. They're being very bigoted. They're being very arrogant. They're being self-righteous. And they think everything that they're doing, just like Israel did to Joseph, I should say his brothers, they meant it for evil, but God, he meant it for good. And of course, God took and he turned everything around that they had done. He took it and he turned it around and made it good. Now, I believe God is about to take a lot of this negative stuff that's been happening and going to start turning it for his good. In 2012, the Lord gave me one word, and it was acceleration. And I put that in my newsletter, that everything would begin to accelerate, which it did. But I told Steve I've been too negative about certain things. When God gives me a word, I emphasize it, and I take it all to the negative way. And, of course, there has been much negativity. Obama has gone crazy. We have same-sex marriage. We have transgenderism now. Everything has accelerated. But then I was in prayer, and then I got rebuked on top of that. And the Lord said, look at your life, look at your ministry, look what I've done for you in the last several years, how your ministry has accelerated. And I said, well, Lord, you're right. And then Obama says, well, I'm going to open the doors back up to Cuba. And I was having dinner with some brethren, missionaries. One was from South Korea, the other one was from Japan. And they were talking about getting into Cuba and ministering to all these people who've never been ministered to in the last 50, 60 years. And the Lord rebuked me sitting there eating dinner. He said, don't think I am not in control of everything. You know, you're lambasting Obama because he's doing this, but I'm going to get the gospel in there, and these people are going to hear the true word of God. And so I got my fanny whipped that night, sitting there listening to these two foreign missionaries talk about now the opportunity to get the gospel in Cuba. And I'm sitting there and getting my butt whooped while I'm trying to eat dinner, and the Lord's just chastening me to no end. And I said, Lord, I will begin to look at things in a different context. But I want to share a couple of verses from Obadiah, and I want to show you how they are a literal translation or repeating of what Jeremiah said. In Obadiah, beginning at verse 1, I'm going to drop down. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. Obama thinks his habitation is high and lofty, and he's unaccessible, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, Lucifer, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers had came to thee, would they not leave some grapes, or would they not left a gleaning or something? But Satan does not ever leave a gleaning. He pillages everything and destroys. Well, now you go back to Jeremiah 49. We know how that Jeremiah 49, 50, 51 speaks of Babylon in the time of the end. And this is in Obadiah, and I took this as Esau being the flesh and Jacob being the spiritual. And I'm applying that in today's terms. You're either going to be carnally minded or you're going to be spiritually minded. And in this January, the Lord spoke to my heart after my fast. He said, you'll either become a full-blown goat or a full-blown sheep. A sheep never turns into a goat, and a goat does not turn into a sheep. So God said, I'm tired of the middle ground. Everyone is going to go either to the left hand or to the right hand. Well, now we go back to Jeremiah 49, and it's almost word for word. Look at verse 14 at the bottom of that last phrase in verse 14, Jeremiah 49. Gather ye together and come against her and rise up to the battle. That's word for word. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen and despised among men. The terribleness, thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. And that brings me to thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Everything that these people have been doing, they think they're going to do this and be totally unscathed, and that there's not going to be any repercussions or anything of that nature. But God says, wait just a minute. I am going to adjudicate every matter, and I'm going to turn the tables. Now, after I was reading that this morning, I got on my knees and I began to pray. And I'd been praying 15 or 20 minutes, and I hear the word ignition. Ignition. And I thought, wow. So I kept on praying, and I finished up. And I sat back down here at my desk, and I began to ponder the word ignition. And the most renowned phrase that I can relate to the word ignition is NASA. 3, 2, 1, we have ignition. And now it can't be stopped. Liftoff. Man, those engines, the thrust, the power is phenomenal. I felt like God was trying to tell me something has been ignited. The ignition, the explosion, the combustion in an engine, in the chamber, the piston, the spark plug, the combustion, the ignition has taken place. Now, I've been praying for weeks, and Steve is very well familiar because he wants to pray imprecatory prayers all the time. I don't say that to be ugly, but I know Steve wants God to jack them up, like we say down here in the South. Well, I've been reluctant to pray imprecatory prayers, but I have started praying, God, stop allowing the wicked to rule over us. Bring them down. Because, you know, Proverbs 29:2, you've heard me quote it, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, today, Obama, as he was attacking Trump, he's getting edgy. He's getting angry. He's getting vehement. God has ignited something, and I'm praying that God will suffer him to reveal himself. You see, a fool in his folly is an idiot. And I can hear Valerie Jarrett telling Obama every day, you're the smartest, the brightest, you're dealing with a bunch of lemmings. All these people are stupid, they're ignorant. You are so superior. Well, that's when you get snared, when you hear that all the time. And I'm asking, praying, and I believe God has ignited something, has initiated, something has been ignited. There's been an ignition of sorts. And something is going to happen. Now, it's going to be bad, and it's going to be good. And I told the Lord this time I was not going to take it all in a negative light. I'm looking for God to do some great things for his people. I'm also looking for some bad stuff, some really bad stuff to happen. But I think we're going to witness both good and bad at the same time. The boomerang effect is verse 15. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Now, there's something about reaping and sowing that most people never grasp. You take one grain of corn and you put it in the ground, and there will come up a stalk with two, three, sometimes as many as four ears of corn, and you have hundreds of kernels of corn on each corn cob. But you only sowed one seed. So you always reap more than what you sow. I want everybody to understand that tonight. You always reap more than what you sow. That's the law of reciprocity. There's a verse in John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's what I'm talking about here. Jesus made it very clear. Except a corn of wheat, one, a corn or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. You can look at five grains of corn in your hand, and each grain, if you plant it and it each one produces and comes up, there will be five stalks of corn. So it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, we the righteous, we have labored, we have prayed, we have declared the word of God, we have fasted, we have earnestly sought God. We, I believe, are about to reap a harvest. And the harvest is always greater than what you sowed. And I want to encourage you tonight, everyone listening tonight, those of you who have been faithful, you've been faithful in your prayer life, you've been faithful in your giving, you've been faithful in your study of the Word of God, you have cried out to God. There are tens of thousands, millions of people who have no platform, such as the Hagman and Hagman. You have no platform, but you'd have the greatest platform when you have God's ear. That's the platform that you want. And every child of God has a platform with God. How can I say that? Because David said in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cries. You have the greatest platform in the world when you get on your knees. God Almighty lends his ear. He lends his hearing to your voice. And he hears the most feeble, frail, 90-year-old grandmother when she gets on her knees, or maybe she can't even get on her knees, because if she gets on her knees, she can't get up. So maybe she just sits there in the living room in her chair, and she meditates, and she talks to God over and over and over, and relentlessly she speaks to God. She's frail. Her fragility begs description, but she still calls out on God. Let me tell you, that is not going unrewarded. God is bottling up the prayers, he's bottling up the tears, and he's going to pour them back out during the Great Tribulation period. But I believe those of us who have been faithful to the Lord, we're getting ready to enter into a time of harvest. And listen, that's when the hardest work is, because there's only so much time to get the harvest in. If you don't get out there and get it done, you'll lose it. you have this massive harvest, and that's when the real pressure and the real push is made on at harvest time. We got to go get it now. If we don't, we'll lose the crops. We'll lose it for different reasons. It'll wither. It'll die on the vine. Storms may come. Winds may blow. Many things can happen. But you have that parenthetical time when you get to reap the harvest. And we're getting ready, I believe, to reap because we have been faithful. And so, as we have done, the boomerang effect. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. What we have sown, we're going to be rewarded. That's why Galatians 6, 7 and 8, Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I saw a picture of George Soros the other day. You talk about a sickly-looking human being who is so wealthy. But Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I mean, the man looks like death warmed over. He looks like he's on the precipice of death. And if he doesn't repent, he will die lost without God. And I'm watching all of these people, from Bill Clinton to Hillary Clinton to Obama to Valerie Jarrett. These people are deceived, and they think they're getting by. I watched all of these women the other day stand behind Hillary Clinton, clapping and lauding her and extolling her as some majestic deity, some goddess. And the scripture that came to my mind was 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. She's deceiving people, and she's also being deceived because she doesn't believe there's coming a day of accountability. But listen, and I'm going to give it to Steve because I've been long-winded. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. That is such a profound Bible verse. It literally begs description. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. That's a little g. I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. God said to Moses, Moses, Pharaohs, all the Pharaohs thought they were deity. God said, Moses, Pharaoh thinks he's God or a god. I'm going to make you a god in his eyes. And this is why we can never lose hope, because God is sovereign over every little thing, even down to a grain of sand. If it took one more grain of sand to cause the earth to tilt off its axis, God can move that one grain of sand. That's all it takes, is the hand of God. And so my point is, Pharaoh thought he was contending with a man that was a god. But no, he wasn't contending with a man. He was contending with Elohim, Jehovah Nissi. He was contending with God Almighty, and God said, Moses, I'm going to make him think you're a god. Now that's frightening. That should make your hair stand on the back of your neck, that God can do such things, and yet he's the one that's in control of everything. And so these people are deceived. And I know it's bad. I know it looks bad, and it looks hopeless, and it looks helpless, but I never lose hope because God is still on his throne. And I want to encourage you tonight. Something has been ignited. There has been some type of ignition. But don't worry. God can steer this thing just like he wants it, just like Joseph said to his brethren. You meant all of this for evil, but God, he meant it for good. So don't get discouraged. Don't get beleaguered. Don't give up. Keep your focus on the Lord. He'll make a way, I promise you. Steve, I'm going to give it to you, sir.
Thank you, David. And ladies and gentlemen, I asked David to take all the time necessary to lay this out because it's critical. Now, the reason that the Mandela effect and all of these other terms are coming basically out of people's ignorance. into not understanding the very basis of time and eternity, and that's for another show. The issues that stand before us today is the same thing. Who do you say that I am, Peter? Or who do they say that I am, Peter? When Jesus addressed Peter concerning just who is this man that stands before you? And I want to go through a couple scriptures. I'll probably have to take the second hour to get into what I would call the opening of the gates, the change in universes, our ability to perceive, our ability to see, basically all that we in the human brain see as a continuous flow of events are actually a bunch of individual single photographs that the brain is taking at a very high rate, and the brain in its creative genius that God gave us is putting it all together. It's just like a CCD, that's a charge coupled device, an array in a digital camera. You can take a digital camera photo, and I do it all the time, and I blow it up, and I get to the point where I can see every single pixel, and that's what's called a picture element. But at the end of the day, everything I'm looking at is just the way the light is basically being captured and portrayed through the primary colors of red, blue, and green. But the fascinating part about this is, David and Doug and Joe, again, the other day in the shower, instantly had an understanding. I'm dealing with time and eternity in a different way than most people, I believe, have dealt with it. Not that others haven't thought this out. I'm not saying whoopee. But I understand now how when we stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that's for Christians. It's not based on heaven or hell. That's the great white throne judgment. But how effective have we been? How, in essence, what was the motive for everything we've done? How in an instant, every single one of those images flashed before our eyes, and God instantly, through the power of the Almighty, shows us and shows the reward of the righteous and the lack of a reward for the unfaithful. I'm not talking about Christians that aren't going to heaven, because obviously by the very name, if you're a Christian, a Bible-believing, washed in the blood Christian, you're going to heaven. So, in the shower the other day, I just got this understanding. Now, obviously, I'm a photographer, and obviously, I know about this stuff. And I kept going over in my mind, I want higher resolution, Lord. I want higher resolution. And as the pixels become finer, the individual pictures, if you will, within the overall scene, as every image you see, if you just look at whatever you're looking at right now before you, imagine 1,000 images, imagine your brain instantaneously translating every single, let's say, item on your wall, on your desk, in your living room, instantly that's all being recorded, and it's being recorded for the record in your DNA, not just in your brain. It's a fascinating concept, so fascinating that that's why they're trying to rewrite people's DNA and change that. So this is something that's really heavy on my heart, because I know this, and I'll propose this to you. This is, you'll understand why this is relevant tonight. What we see, David just shared with you how the Lord corrected the picture he saw in the context of the end times. The minute David shared that with me, guess who got convicted? I also did. Because in essence, having to have done what I've done and see what I've seen and been shown in advance what I've seen, and you heard Tom Horn talk about his calling in the Lord, being caught up to heaven and then asking the Lord to not let him forget, and then obviously God says you're not going to remember a thing until it's time, pretty much. And then Tom's miraculous and marvelous calling on his life and what's resulted from that. And again, the thing that's astonishing to me, Pastor Doug and Joe, is the very fact that God has put in our hearts, if we love him, to fulfill our will. That's why he gives us images. A dream and a vision is a series of images flowing in the context of God revealed understanding, if the dream or vision is from him. You know, obviously, if you're taking some type of a hallucinogenic drug or some mind-controlling drug or anything like that, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people that God has placed within their hearts, who love him, that that which they will accomplish, because free will, when it aligns with the will of God, is infinite, and it's also redemptive. And when I was talking to David yesterday and today, and a little bit to Doug in the morning, the thing that's interesting to me when people are dealing with the Mandela effect, which is nothing more than collective memories being shared or put into someone's mind by mind control. Those of you who don't understand the level of shared memories and mind control, this is how the great deception is going to play out before us. Whether it's all the individual images of aliens, flying saucers, all the science fiction movies, all that stuff registers in your spirit. Also, the ability of the cell phone towers, which are not cell phone towers at all, the Gwen towers. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, they have cell phone antenna and they have some amplification, but there's a far more insidious purpose to the electromagnetic thought control. Everything David, Doug, and Joe, and others who are listening into this show tonight must understand that you cannot even look at Drudge or the London Daily Mail on just every day. They're talking about Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA. Everyone's trying to read your thoughts, trying to put your thoughts in and put thoughts into your mind, and that's exactly how the devil works. So in order to have redemption, we need to put on the helmet of salvation. The people that are coming up and sending David voluminous emails, me voluminous emails, and Doug and Joe, I'm sure you're getting them too. Everybody who's getting them. These people do not know the power of God and do not know the God in whom they claim to believe. That's not an arrogant, that's not a judgment call. It is this. There is no way you can figure out God. The only way that God has made himself known beyond creation, beyond all that you see that boggles your mind, is through his word and through the revelation of the prophets and through writing his laws upon our heart. So the greatness, the majesty, the magnitude, the awesomeness, the wow, the wonder, the splendor, the absolute cellular excitement that screams, glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus. It's like all creation groans, cries out for the manifestation of the sons of God, because they know at the time. Look, I believe, somebody said, you're dumber than a box of rocks. I said, well, there's some smart rocks out there. Science has proven when I speak a word, when you speak a word, they all have some effect. And even to the point of molecularly affecting the surface area in which they come into contact with. Didn't Jesus say if the people held their peace, Pastor, didn't he say that the stones would cry out?
Absolutely.
So how do stones cry out? It's this. It's the harmonic voice of praise to the King of Kings. Now, why am I saying all this? Having spent 25 years in the realm of writing, researching, talking, interviewing, being taught by people who live in a world and realm that most people don't know exists, that's not to flatter me. It's to say I could not know it. I make this claim all the time. Some people say, well, you sound like you're really smart. Or the others say, you think you know everything. I said, I don't know anything, but I certainly know a lot of people. First and foremost, I know Jesus Christ. And second of all, I know he knows me. And I call him my beloved, and he calls me his friend. And that is the most mind-blowing thing in the universe. When you look at everything around you, if you go to the tallest mountains in the world, the deepest seas, when you go into any a fragrant garden, and you smell the very essence of creation, even smell, by the way, is an electromagnetic emanation. What am I saying here? I'm saying that God is so great and greater, and as the scripture says, the psalmist says, greatly to be praised. Now, that's what is going to happen when the king comes into his kingdom, before all hell breaks loose, or David, as you guys in North Carolina say it, and I love it, hail, you know. By the way, hail, H-A-I-L, is breaking loose, as well as H-E-double-L is breaking loose. There seems to be a correlation there, and I'm not trying to be cute or clever. It just is interesting to me. So as we're talking about this, remember this, ladies and gentlemen, everything that you're seeing in the scientific realm. Everything I wrote in the book Xenogenesis and Genetic Armageddon prior to that, and that was like 15 years ago, people laughed, they mocked, they scorned, they just ridiculed everything they could do to take away. But it hasn't changed the fact that they're even talking. I'm getting emails today, David, and I know we only got a minute before we go to the break, but emails today from people saying, can they genetically alter my DNA so that they'll make me deny Jesus? That's the goal. But God said in his word, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All who call upon. That's why tonight there are people, and I told Doug this, I said, Doug, tonight if people are going to make choices for eternity one way or the other. Let's go to the break, guys.
With that, we are at the top of the hour break. Folks, you're listening to Pastor David Langford and Steve Quill. Pastor Langford says, the voice of evangelism, Steve Quill from stevequill.com. We'll be right back after these short messages.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.